Hello, and welcome again to Parent is a Verb on OU Radio. I'm Dr. Barry Holzer.
And I'm Chani Holzer.
And today we're here to talk about learning outside of school, or
the university of life.
Now, one of the things that's thought about along the way is the limitations school has, and often the, you know, the frustrations kids have at school. I'm apt to say that, you know, if school did not destroy your child's natural desire to learn
and curiosity,
then they were successful. Because too often, the necessary structure at school is very limiting for many kids.
And it really takes the fun out of learning and learning naturally.
And most kids really naturally are inquisitive. All kids are inquisitive. They're all curious. They all want to know. They start life by exploring.
Right. And then they ask, then they start by asking, why? Why is it this way? Why? How does it work?
And so, you know, to the point that many kids will, you know, go beyond our abilities to answer some of their questions. And encouraging children to be inquisitive and be curious and to ask questions is an important thing.
And I think one advantage that we have with computers today is that those really funky, esoteric questions like, how does that machine work, are so much more answerable than they've ever been because the information is now at our fingertips.
You can Google just about anything.
You could be a genius.
But unfortunately, at school, very often, I mean, sometimes students will complain about teachers who don't allow questions, or just the reality is that not all their questions can get answered.
Right. Or, you know, I've heard some of our kids say, well, that teacher just talks about questionitis. We're not allowed to ask questions, which I understand. You know, there's a limitation of what can be accomplished and covered in a classroom.
What we want to talk about is the learning that really needs to continue to go on outside of school, and how life is a learning experience, and that in everything, you know, we should be constantly learning and growing, and how to encourage our children to do that.
And to remain curious and to remain interested, because interested children are interesting people.
And they're more motivated people. And so what we really can do in the context of the home and the family or the extended family is really use the opportunities.
Natural opportunities. Every opportunity. Just what comes to mind is just simply, you know, things that have to get done, like cooking or baking, can become experiential learning opportunities.
And you can learn, you can have specific goals. So, for example, if your kid is doing fractions in school, have them come bake with you and let them do a quarter of a cup and say, oh, we can't find the half cup measure. How do we get a half a cup in here?
Right. Or, you know, I want to make a whole, you know, I need a whole cup of flour. Well, how many quarter cups of flour will you have to use to make a whole cup, and measure it out?
Right.
And then it's very tangible. 4 quarter of a cups will give me a whole cup of flour.
Hey, good going.
I know. Took me a while to learn that one.
But even the whole process of why do cakes rise?
Oh yeah, why do cakes rise indeed? What makes them rise?
Well, at least the challah, I think we know why it rises. The cakes, I'm not always so sure.
Right. And learning that, you know, cooking is more of an art and baking is more of a science. And, you know, the difference between those two things right there is a lesson.
Right. And there's science in each of these things. And there is a lot of science to it.
There's a lot of science and there's a lot of fun and there's a lot of creativity. And we're learning. And we're also, it's a practical application. We need to eat.
Right.
And sometimes we need to eat cake, so we have to bake.
Right. And you can't always substitute Splenda for sugar because it doesn't come out the same.
100%.
And, you know, it depends on, you know, the consistency.
And making these moments, these opportunities as fun and light fun.
And even trying something, even if it turns out to be a mistake, but the ability to enjoy learning from our mistakes as well.
Right. Okay, we'll never use the whole wheat flour again to try to make a chocolate cake. It just doesn't work.
It just reminded me, I remember watching many years ago a television biography on Edison, and he hires this young recruit you know, this young kid, and, you know, they spent all day making, each time they tried a different filament to make the light bulb, you know, and then he's, you know, he gives it to him to go and test it out, and he's, you know, going, you know, running across the lab with it, and he drops it, and the whole day's work is destroyed, and this kid feels horrible, you know, and the next day, they have to repeat the whole process, and then he finishes it, and he calls the same young assistant over and says, you know, here, now bring it over and let's test it out. And this kid is like, you know, here he just messed up the whole thing yesterday. He says, and Edison tells him, the good thing about mistakes is that they can be corrected.
Right. It's such a good lesson.
Right. And the idea is that nothing's really a mistake. It's everything we can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there's lots of questions and lots of things we can learn about.
You know, playing out in the snow is a wonderful, can be a wonderful geography lesson. It could be a wonderful science lesson. If you take what life offers and you look at it creatively, you look at it with curiosity. And I think that's what's so, the beauty of having young children is that we get to relive that curious time when everything was a mystery and exciting.
New and exciting, yes. And I think one of the things, especially parents of younger children, have to be careful about is not to just push off or dismiss, you know, a lot of their questions, but to tell them, even if you don't have the answer, even if you don't have the time to answer it now, or you're just too tired to really deal with it, tell them that's a great question. Let's go check that out later.
Right.
Okay. So that you don't have to always have all the answers and you don't have to answer everything right away, but you want to validate the importance of asking questions.
Right. Also, yes, you can say, you know, it's Wednesday night and I really don't have time to explore this with you now, but then you approach your child on Friday night and you say, remember that question you asked me on Wednesday about X? Well, I had the opportunity to download something from a computer and it really is interesting. I want to discuss it with you. I want to see, you know, I want to explore this with you. Or I found a book in the library that was talking about exactly the question you had. Or I saw an article in the newspaper and you know it alluded, this is for older kids, it alluded to the question that you had and here's part of the answer. Let's discuss it. Let's figure it out together.
Right. And in fact, the truth is I remember one of our older kids, you know, talking about a article on colorblindness, whatever, that they saw in the science magazine that they were reading. And it ended up being our youngest child who was at the table, you know, then took that topic and made her into, you know, their science fair project that year. And they did a great job, but, you know, only thought about it because it was talked about, it was asked about and then discussed. And, you know, they brought it up and they thought it was fascinating. And this is where learning has gone, because if we show our children that we value learning, and learning is not just what we have to learn for school, but learning is a lifelong endeavor.
Right, or what we have to learn to make money, okay? But that learning for learning's sake, for knowledge's sake, is a value, and it's important, and it makes you a broad person, it makes you an interesting person, is a wonderful, wonderful value.
Right. I remember years ago in camp, right? And there was, somebody borrowed a basketball from another kid to play with. Okay. And we were playing ball and the ball, you know, went off the court and somebody had broken, there was a little still piece of a broken bottle or nail or something and the ball got punctured and broken on it. Right. And it was a whole question like, you know, does he have to pay him for the ball? Who's responsible? And I remember one of the, you know, counselors, learning rep being there said, wow, this is fascinating. And he started going through, you know, all of, you know, talking about from above a comma and, you know, there's, you know, who's responsible? And you borrow it, so you're a shoal, you're a borrower, so therefore you have a certain responsibility. But is this considered that it got destroyed in normal usage? Or is this abnormal usage? And now who left the broken glass? Are they responsible? Because that's the, you know, and did a whole, you know, a whole Torah lesson based on the basketball.
Oh, well, that's a brilliant use of that's taking up something and making it into an opportunity.
Right. But it also showed us how every, you know, that we're learning in Gemara is not dry or esoteric. It really is day in and day out. And we're doing this in our lives every day. Okay, and we have to, you know, we have to be, you know, not just learn the Gemara, but apply it and integrate it.
So we have to, you know, we have to kind of look at everything that we're doing as something we can learn from. Learning becomes an experience. If learning becomes an experience, it becomes something that becomes part of you. It becomes internalized because you've experienced it, you remember it, you internalize it, you value it.
And so, you know, we can use the natural experiences, and we can also create experiences.
Right, and I think creating the experiences is equally important because this is also creates our family traditions. So, you know, the trips to the family, the family trips to parks, learning that roller coasters, there's a lot of physics and there's a lot of aerodynamics around roller coasters is fascinating. It's interesting. It gives you a whole different spin on, riding the roller coaster.
Well, you talk about spin, that thing that spins around and the bottom falls out and you don't fall, all about centripetal force and so forth. There is a lot of chachma, a lot of, science and knowledge that goes into everything in our daily lives. Right. And so having, expressing appreciation for that.
Right.
Encouraging your kids to ask the questions,
Right. To have that tradition of we ask questions, and to encourage that curiosity, the questions of why, what, when, where. Those are the questions.
When you go on trips, especially if you go to a national park and you see the beauty of nature and, the different types of trees and vegetation and different type of animals and, what grows where and how, it's like the you take a tour there and you listen and you learn so much. And I remember when we went about the redwoods and they talked about how they, the redwoods, every time they were putting out all the forest fires and the redwoods trees weren't regenerating. And then they finally realized the redwoods would, really needed the fires because it would burn the other stuff. The redwoods wouldn't burn.
Right.
Okay. Because their bark is very fireproof. Okay. But the very rich soil that would be created by the fire burning up the other stuff was an ideal place for new trees to grow. And so how much, they learn about nature and about Marabu Masecha Hashem, how great and intricate God created this world. These are lessons you can learn and appreciate in little ways, every place you go.
Well, I think also what you're alluding to is that learning process lending itself to enhancing a spiritual body and a religious, experience also, and kind of synthesizing all of that together is very, very powerful.
Right. Because even I remember for those in New York, we often go out to Pennsylvania, to Dutch Amish country. And the Amish are fascinating people because, they also have a very traditional lifestyle, very different from ours, but yet tradition is very important to them. And appreciating their traditions and how they keep their traditions and how they keep their communities together, is fascinating and helps us to reflect back on our traditions, even our minhagim, our customs, and how, customs develop, so that there's, we can really learn from every place we go and what we see and what we learn about.
Yes, learn and respect the differences and the diversity, and there's more out there than just us and what we do. But that doesn't have to necessarily threaten who we are. That can enhance our understanding of ourselves.
Yes.
And what we do and why we do what we do.
Right. And appreciating, I remember our daughter, I think, went with her high school to other Orthodox communities.
Yes.
Okay. And they have a whole trip going to, Square and going to, meet with different, Hasidic communities and, in Brooklyn and really, getting an appreciation of different Orthodox Jews.
Right.
And understand that, Orthodoxy is not just one way, but that there's
a breadth and there's a lot of difference.
Yes. We're a very colorful and broad approach that, there's a lot of room in Orthodoxy for different approaches. and that the Yahad just allows for this.
It becomes a very rich, very experiential learning process.
You know, I think especially in America, there's a lot we can do and see. You know, just going to Philadelphia and seeing the history and the Liberty Bell and taking the walking tour of the birth of America and the appreciation of the ability of men to, you know, come up with a formula and a constitution, you know, that allows for diversity and that allows us as Jews to live in this country in relative, you know, peace and, you know, without being persecuted. You know, I mean, I felt, you know, when we went to Newport, Rhode Island, and you read George Washington's letter that's, you know, reproduced there in the shul, mm-hmm. you know, where he talks about, you know, I don't remember the exact words, say, you know, to prejudice, no, you know, no home, that basically there's no room for anti-Semitism and prejudice in this country. To see that, you know, in writing from our founding father, I think is something that's,
powerful.
It's very powerful and something we need to have appreciation, a thankfulness, a hakaras hatov for this country and what it's given to us and what is given to the world. So that, you know, in there's so many different lessons that we can really learn in so many different ways.
Just a day trip to the beach can be a whole lesson in ecology and, you know, erosion of you know, the shoreline and, you know, refurbishing that and working with that and, you know, high tide and low tide and what all of that means. It's beautiful.
And, you know, getting now back to sort of, it's okay. So you're going to say, well, no, I'm not going on vacation, you know, maybe once a year, you know, twice a year. I'm not going on vacation every week. Okay. So what else can I do? But there's a lot, if you expose your children to other things, you give them lessons in music or art or, you know, or it can be cake decorating.
Right, sports activities. It's all wonderful. It's all good. It's all a chance to see the breadth of life and to grow within themselves and to understand what they love, what they might be passionate about, what they never thought about until now that, you know, sparks them as people and becomes part of who they are.
Right. And you want to, you know, ignite their creativity and give them the opportunity to find what they enjoy and what they're passionate about and what different things mean to them.
Absolutely. Knowing that someone might have, you know, had a dormant interest in art and then they took a couple of art lessons and it, you know, they just flourished with art. And let's just say they never have the opportunity to use art for years, but that's always part of them. You know, they can always go back to that and take another, you know, an art lesson later on in life and remember their passion for art and for creativity and for working in that way and using their brains in that way.
And, you know, I think it's important that kids have these opportunities and we try to give them the opportunities to, you know, to expand, to get beyond just what our schools can offer.
Right, and what the schools offer is fine, but it's limited and it can be limiting. And we need to kind of look as parents at our children as whole people.
And I think especially in the Orthodox Jewish community, it might be changing somewhat now, but I remember growing up, you know, people became doctors, lawyers, accountants, and then they became computer programmers. And, you know, now it's, I think, expanded more with the, you know, computers and internet. So, you know, you've got people going to a little broader fields. But the truth is that we're very narrow in our understanding of what's out there and what someone might pay me to do.
That I could really be good at and enjoy. And, you know, actually look forward to getting up in the morning so that I have, because I'm going someplace that, you know, I enjoy going to. It's called work.
The more we can just give our children opportunities to see other things, the more they can really learn about what they like and what motivates them. and what interests them, what excites them, so they can really find things that they're going to be interested in.
Right, and I think also, you know, there are things, there are opportunities that are learning opportunities because they learn about themselves. You know, for instance, I think about the whole segment of chesed and what chesed, you know, we have to do chesed, but what is chesed there for? Yes, it's there to help the other person, but invariably I think we learn so much about ourselves when we get involved in chesed. We learn about our strengths, we learn about our capacities that we didn't know about before. Visiting a nursing home with your children, making that maybe an annual event, that, you know, that's something that we do. What does that mean? What does that mean as, you know, us as a people, me as an individual? What do I learn from this? Do I learn how people have lived their lives? And, you know, can I learn how to live my life from talking to an older person who I may not have contact with on a regular basis, but I sit down with that person, you know, once a year, a random person in a nursing home, and we have a conversation.
Or a few times a year. There are kids who do chesed where they go visit the nursing homes, you know, every couple of weeks, you know, on a Shabbos afternoon even, it's in the neighborhood. And encouraging that type of activity. And you learn a lot about yourself. And the truth is, in chesed, you always gain so much by giving.
Right. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to inculcate and to share with children, that, you know, it's not just it's giving, but when you give, you get a lot back in return. What a valuable, valuable way to live your life. What a meaningful way to live your life is to know that by giving, you receive so much more enrichment as a human being, as a person, as a Jew.
Then there's just the learning that can go on at the family table, planned or unplanned. You know, sometimes it's just a topic that comes up and that we want to talk about. Sometimes, you know, say, oh, I read this article. I think you really all have to read it. Okay? Sometimes I've gotten something and I read it out loud at the table to everybody so we could discuss it. Okay? And so this is, you know, you want your home to be a place where learning goes on. Okay? And we discuss these things. You know, I remember Connie did, you know, instituted for a while a family book club.
Like, that was so much fun. I mean, it was definitely fun for me. I'm a reader, but I think it also was so much fun for the kids because we were all actually reading the same material, even though they were significantly younger. And we got to talk about it, and, you know, it motivated everybody to read because we were all going to get to share it with each other, and everyone's perspective was shared. Doing a family book club, especially if children are around, you know, the same age range, is such a marvelous, wonderful way to encourage reading and thinking and discussing and sharing ideas, because everyone's perspective can be very, very different.
It's not just the mandatory Dvar Torah that I have to read to you on Shabbos that my teacher gave out, but it's really this whole discussion about it. And even in those, you know, Dvar Torah the kids bring home, I always like to, you know, sort of, if I can, ask a question about it, discuss it, make it alive. And I always just tell the kids, I want you to tell the Dvar Torah, but you can't just read it and not know what you're talking about. I want you to go over it, practice it, and then just sort of tell me what it says. And so that they really own it, and then they can really share it.
Yeah, and I think just looking for anything can be, you know, a learning experience. And anything can be curiosity-making. It can be creative. It doesn't have to be sophisticated, and it doesn't have to take you far away from home. There are so many things, you know, in our daily lives that can become enriching experiences if we just kind of look at it that way.
And so I think, if anything, this is one of the areas where we have a lot to, in a sense, learn from our children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have naturally this excitement and curiosity about lots of things.
I mean, like just planting a vegetable garden, which, you know, not everybody can do because not everyone has property to grow a vegetable garden. But if you do, a vegetable garden is an incredible way to learn about how food is grown. Where do we get our tomatoes from?
Being part of this and appreciating the excitement of learning and sharing with them the excitement of learning, it's not only going to teach them what you're talking about at the table, it's going to make them more motivated learners in general. And so that it's going to make school a better experience, it's going to make life a better experience, not only for your children, but for you as well.
Right, and I think also just, you know, on a final note, it says something about who we are as a family. It says something about our values. It says something about who we are, and it creates an enormous common connection. We are, you know, curious people. We encourage learning. We like learning. We think it's fun. We make it fun. It says it's an enormously wonderful, connective way to spend time with family.
And then for the rest of our lives, this is something we can always do. And if I enjoy learning new things, I'll never be bored.
Good point.
Thank you for joining us today at Parent is a Verb on OU Radio. We'd love to hear from you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about future shows, please email us at parentisaverb@ou.org.